Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
This is Jesus 911, Monday's program. My name is Jesse Romero. I am 10-8. I am on duty. And I got my partner, my longtime partner, Paul Clay. Paul, are you 10-8, buddy?
10-8, ready to go, Jess. Always a pleasure to ride with you.
Hey, remember we talked when we were young, we said, one of these days, we're going to be evangelizing together. I mean, we had that conversation like 30 years ago. And Paul, I don't know, whatever time the Lord allows us here on planet Earth, I just really enjoy doing this Monday show with you.
Jess, you know, that's my heart too. Listen, enjoy every minute we get to spend conversing about the Lord Jesus Christ and his great salvation.
Amen. I just want to just mention that as Catholics, remember what St. Padre Pio says. I know a lot of people oftentimes are disenchanted with things that are happening right now. But St. Padre Pio would often tell us, pray, hope, and don't worry, because worrying is useless. What is needed is trust. So I just want to remind everybody, pray, hope, and don't worry. Jesus has this. It's all in control. Okay?
Amen. Yeah. Amen. I like that advice, Jess.
Yeah, it's just pretty basic. We don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow as human beings, but the Lord knows everything, you know, before it even occurs. It's all in his foreknowledge, and he's in control. He's in complete control.
You're right, and we're actually in control of nothing.
Yeah, we don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't even know what's going to happen in the next hour from now.
Right.
So, Paul, let's go on. I want to go into the first topic. What you need to know about the COVID vaccine. Big article here. It's called the EvilyReport.com. I just want to hit a couple of bullets.
Well, Jess, so, before you get started, what you need to know is don't take it.
Yeah, pretty simple. Paul, they're experimenting on us, not on animals. We are the animals for this. For these vaccines, these experimental vaccines. So let me share with you. Yeah, it is true. Let me share with you what you need to know about Pfizer COVID vaccine. Personally, Paul, I'm very suspicious of our government at the present moment. I'm very suspicious of the medical programs that are coming from these government medical agencies. That's just me. Yeah. I'm not a 20-year-old gullible person and stuff, and I've just seen too much. But this Everly report, in this article, we're going to cover some of the reports of adverse events since the administration of the experimental vaccine began in December. These COVID experimental vaccines are the first, injections to use modified, it's called synthetic mRNA technology. And there's an ongoing debate and concern amongst the scientific and medical community with regard to potential unknown effects of injecting lab-created genetic material into the body. In other words, like I told you, they're experimenting on us. We are the guinea pigs.
Wow.
And there's unique and unknown risks to this messenger RNA vaccines, including local and systemic inflammatory responses that could lead to autoimmune conditions, possible developments of autoreactive antibodies, and toxic effects of any non-native nucleotides and delivery system components. And so the question that I'm asking is, could mRNA COVID-19 experimental vaccines be dangerous in the long term? Many doctors say yes. Mm-hmm. There's an ingredient of concern, which is called polyethylene glycol. We'll just call it PEG.
Polyethylene glycol. Yeah.
Yes. It's called, we'll just call it PED. So this PED has never been used before in an approved vaccine, but it's found in many drugs that have occasionally triggered anaphylaxis, which is a potentially life-threatening reaction that can cause rashes, plummeting blood pressure, shortness of breath, and a fast heartbeat. And some allergies. Yeah, go ahead, Paul.
Let me just interject real quick. Isn't that essentially the same symptoms that we've heard so many times by different people who have taken this vaccine? An example that comes right to my mind is, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, an otherwise healthy individual. He takes the vaccine, and within 2 days, he's gasping for his own breath at the hospital. Anaphylactic shock, in other words, is what's going on with these people, and it's causing just a systematic respiratory failure in them.
The sad part about it is that the government knows this, and they're covering it up. We're getting this information from outside government sources.
Yes. And know why, Jess? Listen, they're not per se covering it up. They have deemed that the percentage of people who are dying and having these adverse reactions is an acceptable number. Mm. And that is, this just shows you their low regard. You know, one thing on the sheriff's department, we were always taught, reverence for human life. Well, there's a lack of reverence for human life when it comes to, these big pharma people who are experimenting with these vaccines, in the sense that, hey, an acceptable number, these guys are expendable.
Mm, that's a great point.
Yeah.
Also, Paul, the FDA's discovered several decades after current pertussis vaccines were put into use that the pertussis vaccine does not prevent infection or transmission, and that vaccinated asymptomatic carriers have actually contributed to pertussis outbreaks. Also, if the COVID vaccine does not prevent infection or transmission, as admitted by many in the medical community, it only suppresses symptoms, then herd immunity is not possible with this vaccine, even if 100% of the population receives it. In fact, this is precisely what Dr. Fauci and others have stated, that regardless of whether or not you receive the vaccines, you're still going to be expected to wear masks, social distance, and avoid gatherings. So what's the point of getting the whole world vaccinated then? There's something insidious behind this, Paul.
Yeah, there is something insidious, Jess. And, the article does mention also, Jess, that the ingredient of concern, that modified message RNA, I've got a little comment on that. Although from a health perspective, this is the ingredient of concern. For us Christians, we must be concerned with the use of stem cells from aborted babies being used in any portion of the development of this vaccine. While it may not contain any genetic material, from these aborted babies, these cells were used to help determine the viability of the vaccine in its development. So, in other words, for us, when we just agree to take this vaccine, we're saying, hey, we understand that, you guys are aborting babies and using these cells to develop these vaccines, but it's the greater good. And we as Christians, we can't have anything to do with tacitly, looking the other way toward aborting babies. And I don't care what year they were aborted.
Exactly. Because that's once again just the disregard for human life. And are we going to put a time frame and say, well, they were, aborted 40 or 50 years ago? It doesn't matter. A person is a person with a soul that Jesus Christ died for.
Amen.
Here's some of the news headlines from these COVID experimental vaccines. I'm just going to read a few of them. It says here about several deaths of healthcare workers and elderly patients receiving these COVID experimental vaccines. Here's one. Portuguese health worker, 41, dies 2 days after getting the Pfizer COVID vaccine as her father says he wants answers. Next. Doctor's death after COVID vaccine is being investigated. Next. 75-year-old man dies of heart attack shortly after receiving coronavirus vaccine. Next. Healthcare worker dies after second dose of COVID vaccine investigations underway next. Person in Placer County dies shortly after being given COVID-19 vaccine, authorities say next. 23 die in Norway after receiving Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine, officials next. South Dakota reports two deaths recorded after COVID-19 vaccinations next. Auburn woman warns she saw grandfather's aide die after COVID vaccine next. Dozens of care home residents died with COVID before the second jab next. Family community mourn loss of Provo NICU therapist to COVID-19. Paul, these are just the cases that we know that are reported. There's a lot of cases that are not being reported, and they're going under the radar.
Of course. You know, Jess, you know, when you have companies that have been given immunity
for prosecution.
Yeah, across the board, you know, throw the caution to the wind at that point. You know, they're going to and the reward was he who develops the vaccine first, you know, gets the money, gets the contract. And so, you know, this thing stinks from beginning to end. Yeah. And I personally believe, Jess, that we're going to see in the future adverse reactions to this vaccine that they didn't even foresee.
Amen. Jesus 911, two-man car. Jess Romero, Paul Clay. Up next, we're going to talk about scientific proof that there was massive voter fraud.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
The Good Shepherd has risen. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Alleluia.
And that's what makes life worth living. I'm telling you, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it makes life worth living. It makes death conquerable. Okay?
Yes.
You can look at the face of death one day if you die in friendship with God, and you can say, oh, death, where is your sting?
Yes, and even more than that, it makes life livable.
Yes. Yeah, it gives it purpose, meaning and purpose, getting up every single day saying, I'm going to fight the good fight of faith because I know at the end of the finish line, there will be a reward, and I'll be with my sweet Jesus and the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Yeah.
Paul,
you know, Jess, I thank God for supernatural grace, giving us the grace to be able to see that and to live the reality of it. Because, you know, I can only imagine that people without faith, when they listen to people like us talk, it's like we're speaking a different language. They cannot comprehend, and it's biblical because the Bible says the things of God are foolishness to those who don't believe. And all I got to say is, you know, Lord Jesus, I pray for those people out there and ask that you would just fill them with your grace and open up their eyes. Because I remember, just for me, it was like all of a sudden things were foggy and things came into focus, and I was like, oh my goodness. You know, where I was blind and fuzzy, now I could see clearly.
Amen.
I didn't need these glasses.
That's right. And you know, Paul, and that's exactly the message of St. Faustina, the Divine Mercy message, is over and over again in her diary, she says, pray for unrepentant sinners that God reaches them with his mercy. That's the whole constant theme since 1931 of this holy Polish nun. Is pray for unrepentant sinners that they would reach out for the mercy of God, because God wants to save them through his son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we got to be in the business of saving souls.
Amen.
Paul, here's another guy. I don't know about you, but I was disappointed the way our presidential elections were run and handled. But there's scientific proof that shows massive voter fraud occurred. And it's a fellow seeker, a fellow traveler. Mike Lindell, he's the man that just won't quit, and it's people like him that get stuff done. And yep. I know that we heard for months that there's tons of proof of election fraud, and yet no one has been held accountable for the actions. But again, when you're dealing with elite criminals, it's a bit harder to take them down. It's not like taking out some petty crook, you know, in a neighborhood. But that doesn't mean that we stop and we let things continue. The corruption continue. That means that we just got to keep pushing forward and exposing their crimes, since we all know that one day It will be enough to take these people down and restore the republic. But not only that, Paul, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I don't know what these people are thinking about. But be that as it may, I'm kind of cheering on Mike Lindell because this guy's been pressing forward on his investigation of the election fraud in 2020. And I'll tell you, he's got this real zeal to fight the systemic corruption that we saw in the election fraud. And he's got this real zeal not to let it happen again. Comments?
Yeah, listen, it never ceases to amaze me how they try to discredit a man like Mike Lindell, Jess. You know, Mike Lindell is a man just like any other man. He has flaws. He has a past. And Mike Lindell, for those of you who don't know, at one point he was a drug addict. And he talks now about how God delivered him from that. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And now he is a man who has faith in God. And Jess, here's my comments on that. Once again, the mainstream media in cahoots with Big Pharma, Big Tech, and the deep state, all controlled by the almighty dollar, will discredit men like Mike Lindell based on his past, which I just mentioned, because the kingmakers, the president makers, most of whom belong to secret societies, no surprise there, influenced by Satan,
amen,
have an objective, and that objective, whether they're conscious of it or not, is to prepare the world for Antichrist.
Bingo,
that is
Paul.
Their objective.
100% correct. I am 100% with you. That's exactly the way things will play out. That's called eschatology, by the way. People wondering, the study of end times. Paul just laid out the Catholic view of the end of the world, end times. And Paul, I got to give this guy props, Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy, because he released a one-hour television special on March 31st. You could watch it on some platforms like Rumble and others. It's called Scientific Proof. Internationally renowned physicist absolutely proves 2020 election was the biggest cyber crime in world history. And so the broadcast hosted Dr. Douglas Frank. He's a doctor in he's got to hold a doctorate in surface analytical chemistry for the University of Cincinnati. So Dr. Frank is a world renowned recognized scientist that has penned 50 scientific publications. So this guy's no slouch. But in 1990, Dr. Frank discovered and invented a technique for creating three-dimensional images of molecules resting on surfaces. The discovery landed him a cover article in Science Magazine, which happens to be the most read science magazine in the world by scientists. And he was on another cover in another magazine in Europe. Well, needless to say that this gentleman, Dr. Frank, knows what he's talking about. So Dr. Frank has taken some time to look into the 2020 elections. And when I say some time, I mean countless hours. Dr. Frank reviewed the date of the election, county by county in states such as Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Colorado, and so forth. And he came to one conclusion. Dr. Frank says scientific and mathematical investigation has revealed that there was absolutely massive cyber fraud in the election of 2020. Okay? And here's more from Lindell TV. In a television special, Dr. Frank testifies to host Mike Lindell that deviations and mathematical impossibilities could not have been done by humans, by artificial intelligence and computers that were running before, during, and after the 2020 U.S. elections. And Dr. Frank's investigations reveals that the 2020 national census data was used to manipulate the 2020 election rolls and to inject phantom votes into the election totals. And so Frank's, yeah.
So what you're saying is that the 2010 census rolls were somehow superimposed into the 2020 election.
That's what this expert says.
Okay. Wow. Wow. Yep. Listen, I like the way you brought up the fact that this is this doctor is using math. Math doesn't lie, Jess. That's the one thing about math. It is what it is, and it doesn't lie. And so if he's come to, you know, show that mathematically that these things are impossible, there's no disputing it. But you won't hear this on the mainstream media, Jess. And why is that?
Because 90% of the mainstream media is owned by 6 billionaires. That's why. And by the way, just like we used to go to roll call or briefing, Paul, in the morning, you know, and I guess in the military, I mean, when you they have, what do they call it in the briefing in the military when maybe the officers get together? I know in police work, they call it briefing or roll call. Well, these guys, the left, Paul, they also have that. They got roll call in the morning. Yes. And they all sing from the same hymn sheet. Yep. And so the 6 billionaires that own 90% of the mainstream media, of course they're not going to put this out. You know, they're going to whitewash, you know, information like this that's going to expose them for who they are.
Yeah. I think about that all the time, Jess, how, you know, we have things that protect us, you know, the Constitution, as an example, protects us from government overreach. But yet the devil is so crafty that what he did was he caused the greed and the private industry to just get so huge that now they can censor us and violate all kinds of ideas put forth in the Constitution in order to censor the things that are being said and to control what the narrative is. And that is just so diabolical. And we are being controlled by private, you know, companies that are, by the way, even protected by laws enacted by Congress from lawsuit. So it's almost like, they're untouchable.
In this life, they're untouchable so far. But in the next life, boy, oh boy, Paul, vengeance.
Bring it home,
says
brother.
The Lord.
Bring it home.
Vengeance. And I'm going to tell you, Paul, this is why our Lord Jesus Christ, every time he talks about salvation, he says few people will be saved and many people will be damned. You just look at the earth movers, the earth shakers, the power players. These people are so wicked. And again, it's like they've created a generation of zombies, of people that don't even engage their intellect with the facts. They just kind of just drone and drool as they watch the mainstream media Monday through Friday without engaging their intellect and realizing, you know, if these people are lying to me or giving me half truths or giving me pure propaganda. And this is why, Paul, again, without our faith, without the gospel of Jesus Christ, without a relationship with God, God gives you the filter to be able to discern what's right, what's from wrong, truth from error. Without a relationship with God and without forming your mind with the gospel of Jesus Christ, you have no filter to determine what's right and wrong. Absolutely none.
Yes. You're toast. Listen, and the Bible warns us, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You see, if your thoughts and dreams and hopes are in this world only, you don't have the love of God in you, because we in Christ know, Jess, that this world is passing away. Sacred Scripture tells us, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will, Jess. This is what we're all about here on Jesus 911.
Paul, I'll never forget, like 30-some-odd years ago, you and myself and another deputy sheriff named Greg Nix, rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Greg.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember we're having he was a, you know, pretty boy, buff, womanizer.
His favorite saying was, hey, baby.
Yeah. His father was a multimillionaire real estate mogul in L.A. County. He owned all these high rises. Every time he used to see you, hey, baby. And on the weekends, he'd come and show us pictures. He'd be with, you know, different women and his boats and stuff and different movie stars and actors and stuff. And I remember one day you told him, it affected me. You said, hey, he was showing you an album with all his escapades of all these women and excursions. You said, hey, Greg, this is your world, brother. I'm just passing through. That I never forgot that. It was 30 years ago you told him that. I said, wow, how true is that?
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Our Lord says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives you, do I give it to you, says the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia. John chapter 14. Paul, I want to go back into my favorite topic, because this is the topic basically that sets the church apart at the 15th century. It's the issue of how one gets to heaven. It's the topic. It's called justification. What does that mean? Justification is a word, dikaiosune, which means how one becomes a child of God and how one enters into a relationship with God. This is a huge topic, and here's where a Catholic priest, Luther, got it absolutely wrong. And it's to the peril of Christianity, because what's happened now is he's divided the body of Christ. Let me tell you that even Vatican II, by the way, I know it has some modernists that were in the councils, and some people, you know, sometimes are very leery of some of the language used in some of the documents on ecumenism. But on the topic of justification, Vatican II changed nothing, okay? Here's what Vatican II says, paragraph 1996, 1997, and 1994. It says this. This is all the constant teaching of the church. Our justification comes from the grace of God. Grace is favor, the free and undeserved help that God gives us to respond to his call to become children of God, adoptive sons, partakers of the divine nature, and of eternal life. Grace is the participation in the life of God. It introduces us into the intimacy of Trinitarian life. By baptism, the Christian participates in the grace of Christ, the head of his church, and as an adopted son, he can henceforth call God Father in union with the only Son. He receives the life of the Spirit, who breathes charity into him and who forms the church. The justification of the wicked is a greater work than the creation of heaven and earth, because heaven and earth will pass away, but the salvation and justification of the elect will not pass away. He holds also that the justification of sinners surpasses the creation of the angels in justice, in that it bears to a greater mercy. Paul, Luther had a problem with all of this. He got it wrong.
Yes. You know, Jess, St. Augustine in the 4th century got it right. Luther got it wrong. One of the doctors of the church, you know, he got it right. But listen, there's a reason. Listen, salvation is rooted in God himself, Jess. For in him we both move and breathe and have our being. We have become partakers of the divine nature. See, this is why our salvation and the salvation of a sinner is greater than the work of creation, just because it's rooted in God himself. Mm-hmm. And we know that, like I said, if in him we both move and breathe and have our being, well, that's much greater than the creation.
That's right. Amen. Yeah, the creation, the world doesn't have a soul, an immortal, rational soul like we do, that's made in the image and likeness of God. Paul, I'm going to tell you, here's the big error in Luther, and here's where you got 40,000 denominations that essentially have followed him down the rabbit hole of error, okay? Mm. Luther, he came up with a concept of justification by faith alone in Scripture. Mm-hmm. And Luther, he admitted, in a debate with Cardinal Cajetan, he admitted that he added the word alone to his German translation of Romans 3:28. Mm-hmm. So in 1530, Luther wrote 19 pages within a larger letter explaining why he uses or added the word alone in Romans 3:28. Now, here's Luther's own words to the Catholic Church as to why he added a word to Scripture that's not there in the Greek. He said this, quote, "If your papist makes much unnecessary fuss about the word sola, alone, say straight out to him, Dr. Martinus Luther will have it so, and says, papists and donkeys are one and the same thing. Thus I will have it. Thus I order it so, my will is reason enough. For we will not be the scholars and are the disciples of the papists, but their masters and judges. We must once in a way act a little haughtily and noisily with these jackasses. This is my answer to your first question, as to their unnecessary noise about the word sola. I beg of you not to give these donkeys," these are Catholics he's talking to, "any other or further answer, but simply this much. Dr. Luther will have it so, and says he is a doctor above all doctors in the whole of popery. But as to you and our friends, I will give you my reason for using the word sola. I knew very well that here, in Romans chapter 3, the word sola is not in the Latin and Greek text, and it was not necessary for the papists to teach me that. It is true, these four letters, S-O-L-A, are not in it, which letter the jackasses look at as if a cow looks at a new gate. But they do not see that. Nevertheless, it expresses the meaning of the text. And if our German translation is to be clear and powerful, it ought to be put in." Close.
Mm.
You know, Luther just said, he just corrected St. Paul.
Well,
Luther just added to Scripture, which John the Apostle says you can't do in Revelation chapter 22. So Martin, this apostate Catholic, just said, well, you know what? This was St. Paul's intention in the book of Romans, so I just basically added it on 1,500 years later.
Well, Jess, any God-fearing, God-loving person out there listening to what you just repeated on the air concerning Martin Luther's own words, his own writings, can just ask themselves a question. Are these the words of a great saint? Are these the words of a lover of Jesus Christ? Are these the words more in line with a raving lunatic, an arrogant person, a prideful person? These are the words that you would expect to hear from a character in history like Satan himself, as he opposes God. And remember, the Pope is the vicar of Christ, and the vicar of Christ was, defending true, sound Catholic doctrine at the time. He is alter Christus. He's representing Christ there. And what you have in Luther is somebody opposing God, opposing Christ, and that would be in line with the devil himself.
Paul, because this is the doctrine of Christ, the church's doctrine, on salvation, this is the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And so the church was simply defending the perennial 1,500-year-old teaching on justification in the presence of a heretic with a Roman collar around his neck. And by the way, not to pick on my German Catholic friends, but it seems to be historically that a lot of the problems that we have in the Catholic Church stem from Germany, Paul, the theological problems. In fact, my friend Dr. Scott Hahn, he says that the whole reason he took in this whole thing called the St. Paul Center of Biblical Studies, and he has a huge, a think tank of Bible studies and some of the greatest Catholic scholars, young scholars in the world he has working for him. He said, yes, I underwent this study, this whole effort to bring back the patristic and medieval exegesis of Scripture back into the Catholic Church that has been done away with by German theologians. So he said it.
Mm.
He said,
modernism.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what he said.
I like what Kimberly Hahn said. Jess, Kimberly Hahn says, Scott was Luther in reverse. I love it.
No, he's intense. He's pumped out like 50 books and stuff, and he's got a team of scholars that work with him. Some of the brightest young Catholic biblical exegetes in the world. Paul, I want to get into it now. Here's an area where Luther and even Protestants today, you know, some strands of Protestant really criticize the whole thing about works, and they don't understand how good works play in our salvation. So I just want to share some scripture. Maybe we can go back and forth on the way, on what part good works play in our salvation. Now, before we get into scripture, let me mention something. The Catholic Church teaches that good works do have a role in our salvation, but let me explain before you call me a Pelagian, okay? God's grace is like a candle. Think about this metaphor I'm going to give. God's grace is like a candle. Faith and works are like the light and heat that comes from a candle. All three cannot be separated. It's just like the Holy Trinity. They're distinct but inseparable. And so at the same time, the Catholic Church warns against the idea that we can earn our salvation through good works, but both errors can be avoided by paying close attention to Scripture as we see below. And here's the first one I want to share, Jeremiah 17:10. The Bible says, I, the Lord, search the mind and try the heart to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. In one sentence, I'll give you the Catholic Church's teaching on this. Look at, you cannot be saved by works, but you will not be saved apart from your works. Okay, I'm going to make it simple. We're saved by grace as Catholics, but if we don't start, now that we're in the family of God, if we don't start doing the family chores, and we refuse to do the family chores and live a life of disobedience, our lack of obedience or lack of good works can be cause for us to lose our salvation. Because we can fall into mortal sin, fall into a life of debauchery and vice, lose our salvation as a result of living a life of wickedness and disobedience.
Yeah, Jess, I like to look at it in terms of what's key here concerning works is our relationship to God. Once he brings us in as family, we're no longer, you know, hired hands, so to speak. Yes.
Put a hold on that. I want you to jump on next segment. We're talking about what do good works play in our salvation? Jesus 911. Jess Romero, Paul Clay. Stick around.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Our Lord Jesus Christ is risen. Alleluia, alleluia. And that's what makes life worth living. Amen. Paul, we're talking about the Father Martin Luther, the heretic, his misunderstanding on the topic of justification, but specifically the fact that he really downplayed a life of good works. And I guess we want to say, for Catholics, to make it simpler, I just tell Catholics obedience. I'll use a biblical word, the obedience to faith. Romans 1:5, Romans 16:20. We have to have the obedience of faith. But you were saying something.
Yeah, before the break. What's key here, Jess, in understanding this relationship is the family relationship, in a family relationship, and we know that God has adopted us as sons, in that family relationship, workers actually receive an inheritance, okay? In other words, family members receive an inheritance for their labors, but when we're talking about hired hands, so to speak, when we're outside of that familial relationship with God, they are paid a wage for their work. And we all know that work can never be enough to merit salvation. So what Jesus does is he brings us in and he makes us he makes us partakers of the divine nature. And so the work that we then pursue is not our own work, but his work. We become co-workers. We bear, you know, the burden of his ministry, and to him be all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. That's the difference that we're talking about here, and that's why we in the Catholic Church, we don't believe that we can earn our salvation. No way, shape, or form. But we're just simply loving children who are obedient to our parents. And, you know, and with that, when we fail and when we fall and when we stumble, there's grace. And what does the sacred scripture say, Jess? Where sin abounds, grace, grace, much more.
Paul, and I'll tell you here, again, you nailed it, because as Catholics, we believe that, you know, when we come into the family of God, we're part of a family. And so every family member now has what we would call family chores.
Yes.
Taking out the trash doesn't get you to heaven. You know, you know, washing the dishes doesn't make you more of a son or a daughter to your parents than not washing the dishes. But what
it's expected.
That's the expected behavior of one in a family.
Yes.
And so you could be a runaway and say, you know, I'm not going to pay attention to any of the family rules. I'm out of here. You're still part of the family, but you're a runaway.
Yes.
So let's go into some of these scripture passages. Here's another one. John 14:15. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Pretty clear. Another one, Paul?
Yeah. 1 John chapter 2, verses 4 to 6. He who says, I know him, but disobeys his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly love of God is perfected. By this we may be sure that we are in him.
Couldn't get clearer than that. 1 John chapter 5, verse 2 and 3, we're talking about works in relationship to our relationship with God. It says, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments. Now, here's what some people would say, some Protestants will say, you can't. His commandments are burdensome. They're too hard. It's all grace. Say, nope. Here's what Jesus or John said, the apostle says, and his commandments are not burdensome.
I hear
some Protestants say, oh, no, you can't keep the commandments. They're too burdensome. It's a burden. Well, you say they're a burden. John the Apostle says they're not a burden. Who am I going to believe? I'll go with John.
Yeah. And, you know, Jess, because what John is understanding, Jess, is that the Holy Spirit, when a person comes to redemption and salvation in Christ, the Holy Spirit, he gives us a new nature, and that new nature, it's natural for us to obey God and to love God. It's our nature to do it. It's, you know, he changes that nature. That nature that constantly wants to stray from God. He gives us that new nature. And that's what John is relating to here. That's why it's not burdensome. It's natural for us. Now, don't get me wrong. It doesn't mean that the old nature is not tugging back from time to time. It does constantly. And we have to beat it back with the truth of God's word. Yeah. But I thank God that he's given us that new nature.
Amen. James chapter 2, verse 24, the Bible says, you see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. That's a hard hill to overcome for Luther. I mean, yeah, for Luther. What's another verse?
Yeah.
Share another one,
yeah,
Paul.
Yeah, 1 Corinthians 13:2. If I have all faith so as to move mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing.
Wow. Matthew 7:21. Check this one out. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. These are the Bible verses I would have deployed against Luther had I debated him 500 years ago. You got another one that you'd share with Luther?
Well, just a quick comment. You know, these verses, it's kind of funny how when people are looking at the scriptures, you know, they have their preconceived idea about, you know, what the scripture says. So, example, if you're in the tradition of Luther and in the Protestants, at least half of them believe in what's called the perseverance of the saints, in the sense that, hey, once you're saved, you're always saved. You hear it referred to like that. Well, when they ascribe to these ideas, when they look at scriptures, it's just amazing to me how they just disregard the clear teaching of scripture. They disregard the teaching of the apostles and the word of God for the traditions of men, Jess,
yeah.
for the tradition of that was established by Luther, opposite of what the church, Mother Church, has taught for 2,000 years. And I'm just amazed at that fact.
It's the, you said it, you answered your question. It's the pride of men. It's our concupiscence. It's our fallen nature. The default position is my will be done, not the church's will. I don't care what the church says for 1,500 years. My will be done. That was Luther as he pounded his chest.
Romans 2, verses 6 and 7. For he, talking about God, will render to every man according to his works eternal life to those who seek glory, honor, and immortality through perseverance in good works. Jess.
Wow. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive good or evil according to what he has done in the body.
I love the fact that
you can't get more clear than that. I mean, come on.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit is doubling down, tripling down, Jess. He's just, over and over, and he's trying to just beat it into us, and yet we're too stubborn to realize that, listen, there's no easy way to heaven, Jess. There's no, Jesus said, strive to enter through the narrow gate. Why? But many will try, but they will be unable. This is not easy believism, Jess. This isn't, this isn't just the salvation that's being taught and preached out there in so many churches out there, Jess. That, what does the sacred scripture tell us, Jess? That in the latter days, men will not endure sound teaching.
We're
saying, hey, anybody could get to heaven. All you have to do is give intellectual assent, But what does sacred scripture tell us? Oh, the devil believes in God and he trembles. It doesn't do him any good, and it won't do you any good unless you obey. Jesus said, if Amen. You love me, obey me.
Here's another one. Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. Behold, I'm coming soon, bringing my recompense. Some translations say reward. To repay everyone for what he has done.
How about
Hebrews 13:16? Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Here's another powerful one. Galatians 6:9. Let us not grow tired of doing good, for in due time we shall reap our harvest if we do not give up. Here's an important Catholic principle on good works. It was stated by St. Alphonsus Liguori when he said this, quote, it is not enough to do good works. They need to be done well. For our works to be good and perfect, they must be done for the sole purpose of pleasing God. You got another verse before we wrap it up for the show?
Yes. Ephesians 3:20, Jess, ultimately, justification is by his mighty power at work within us. God is able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or dream of.
Mm. Yeah, yes. It's not like St. Alphonsus Liguori said, it's not enough to do good works. They need to be done well for God. And for our works to be good and perfect, they must be done for the sole purpose of pleasing God. Paul, next week, what we're going to look at, this is a fascinating section, because a lot of time Protestant apologists will argue that justification is a one-time event, and they'll quote the life of Abraham, and they'll quote Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. So next week, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. So we're going to look at next week at the Catholic view of Abraham, using him as our model of justification, and we're going to demonstrate that justification is a process. Even in the life of Abraham, the patriarch, he went through a process. It was an ongoing process of growing in sonship. Once he was a son of God, he grew in sonship. And I'll give you an analogy. A six-year-old son doesn't have the same level of responsibility as a 21-year-old son.
No.
In other words, we grow in sonship. We'll see that next week with the life of Abraham, which is once again another point that Luther got wrong in Calvin. They thought that justification was a one-time event. Catholics believe it's an ongoing process. So we'll look at it next week, Paul.
We are in flux, Jess, concerning our justification. It is a process. It is moving.
Any wrap-up thoughts for today's show, Paul? Wrap-up commentaries?
Yes, I just love the truth of God's word, and I just want to encourage everybody to dig into your Bibles and read, 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 because there's gold in them there hills.
Absolutely, and as Catholics, let's not forget that St. Padre Pio says, pray, hope, and worry, okay? I mean, pray, hope, and don't worry. Pray, hope, and don't worry. Worry is useless. What is needed is trust. And if you like what you hear, then like us, hit the subscribe button, hit the bell to be notified, and share this show with others. This is Jesus 911. We're on Monday through Friday here at VMPR. Up next, Gary Machuda, Hands-On Apologetics, coming to us from the Midwest Command Center. And we got two retired cops for Christ. We're EOW, end of watch. 10-7, right. We're out.